This morning, I want to speak to you about the birth of Christ and what happened when Jesus was born. You know, a few weeks ago, I spoke a message about joy. And I talked about how when Jesus was born, the Bible says that it was great news of joy that entered into the world. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about something else that was birthed into Earth's atmosphere when Jesus was born, and that's that there was a perfect peace that entered into the world when Christ was born. If you look at verse number 13, the Bible says that as they were speaking to the shepherds, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with an angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So this morning I want to talk to you about living a lifestyle of peace. Because one of the benefits of our salvation, one of the benefits of our beliefs in Christ, is that you and I can live in what's called perfect peace. And it's complete opposite of what we're living in today. If you look at today, you have a lot of people that live under stress, worry, and anxieties. Truth be told, there are a lot of people that battle their own mind. It's kind of wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. There are a lot of people, Christians included, believers included, that although they trust God, although they believe God, there is this battle that wages in their mind that causes them to do things that are not right. It's kind of wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. And especially going into, you know, the Christmas season, although it should be a time of joy and a time of peace and a time of hope, sometimes it could be the exact opposite, right? Sometimes the anxieties of having to get people gifts comes upon our families. As a matter of fact, it almost seems that like right after Christmas, people go into a panic or into a frenzy and they begin to start spending hundreds of dollars that they don't have to buy gifts for people they feel obligated to. And I want to remind you that Christmas is not about buying gifts. Christmas is about celebrating the hope, the joy, and peace that entered into the earth's atmosphere when Jesus was born. And I feel it's important that we as a church understand this, because if we are not careful, we can be people that live in a lack of peace. Instead of living in peace, we live without peace. And to truly understand what peace is all about, you got to understand what peace means. And peace has a lot of different meanings. If you were to define it by Old Testament standards, peace was defined as this: completeness, soundness, and well-being. This type of peace was considered and believed to be given by God to those who followed the law. See, prior to Jesus being birthed on earth, people lived according to a law. And if you upheld that law or a set of rules, people believed that you would live in peace. Because people who did not obtain these laws lived in anxiety. But when you look at how the New Testament defines peace, watch the change now. Peace is defined and often referred to as tranquility and poise. In other words, peace is a peace that comes from trusting in the Lord our God. See, the good news about Christ's birth was that the Savior was born and peace now entered in to our hearts. And this morning, you got to understand that Jesus is the Messiah and he's the giver of peace. It doesn't matter what anxiety lives in your life. If you understand who God is and you make it a priority to find out his characteristic, there's this peace that comes over your life and will give you strength to make it through anything you go through. The problem is when people don't understand who God is or what God wants them to do, they live in an anxiety because they feel as if they're out of God's will. See, most believers, they feel as if they're out of God's will, and it causes them to live with a mental battle. But God desires that we live in peace. John 16:33 says this: "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in the world. You have tribulation in the world, but take courage because I have overcome the world. In other words, in him we have peace. You got to understand, God didn't promise us that we would never go through anything. Rather, he promised that when we go through things, we can go through things with the right set of mind, with a good conscience, understanding that God owns everything. God has a plan. God has a future for you and your family. So you don't got to be boggled down by the anxiety that comes from the world. See, most people don't understand what it means to live in God's peace. But you got to understand, when Christ is the center of your life, you live with peace in your hearts. Now let's think about this for a second. Think of a person, think of the characteristics that lives in a person that lacks peace. Just kind of throw some at me. People that lack peace, what kind of people are they?
Angry.
Anxious, sad. Nervous, anxiety. Depressed, uneasy. Worry.
Fidgety.
Come on, somebody. You know this. Hello. See, the lack of peace, listen to me. People who lack peace tend to be impatient, tend to be discontented. In other words, they're not satisfied. People that lack peace live in anxiety and worry. People that live with a lack of peace tend to lose their joy. They tend to focus on all the bad things instead of counting their blessings. And you got to understand that joy is a choice. You have to make a conscious decision when you wake up that you are going to live with joy. I know things might not be perfect right now, but understand the God in which you serve is able to break through any barrier, can break through or elevate you to go above the storm and go through it. See, there are some people, they don't want to go through the storm. They're like, God, take me around or somehow take it away. I pray for believers that say, God, teach me what it is to go through the storm. See, because once you've been through the storm, you find out that it's in this middle of the storm that there's an eye of peace. Come on, somebody. That's good news for somebody. You, because right now, all hell is breaking loose around you. Everything is falling apart. But God says, I got you in the palm of my hand. Although everything is going wrong, I got you. And I need you to know, if you focus on me, the dust will eventually settle. But in that, you got to know that you got to surrender some things. You can't attempt to pursue God with having vices on the side. Come on, somebody. There are certain decisions you're going to have to make. Every believer comes to a crossroad in their life. Am I going to jump in or am I going to jump out? Come on, somebody. But when you look at a person that is peaceful, you find that peaceful people, these are some of their qualities. They live in humility. They're content with what they have. They're not worried about what they don't have. People that live in peace, they're steadfast. In other words, they stand when everything around them is falling apart. And people who live in peace walk in joy. Why do I say this and why do I bring this up? Because we're living in the day and age where millions of people lack the peace of God. And most people suffer the anxieties and worries that I'm talking about. And I'll prove it to you. Let me give you some facts and statistics on anxiety and stress. Did you know that anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting over 40 million adults? Anxiety disorders cost us in the U.S. $42 billion a year. Continued worry and stress can actually shorten a person's lifespan by an entire decade. That's some heavy stuff, huh? That's the power of stress and anxiety. Stress is linked to the 6th leading cause of death, higher than heart disease, lung cancer, accidents, liver, cirrhosis of the liver, and suicide. That's some heavy stuff. Stress causes death more than those things. In 2009, CNN poll revealed that the number one reason for stress in America is money. What are half of the fights that we as married couples go through? Come on, somebody. Just say money. Come on. Hello. Me too. Hello. Come on, somebody. Huh? We don't got to live under that stress. We don't have to live according to the world's standards. We don't got to spend more than what we have. We can have little. And the Bible says when you're faithful in little, God will put you over much. This one's heavy to me. Research was done at the University of Cincinnati, and they found, listen to this, 85% of what we worry about will never actually happen. 85% of what we worry about will never actually happen. Now get this. The same university did another study and they found that 75% of us handle that 15% that does happen in ways that would surprise us with the ability to turn the situation around. Stress has a mental block that will keep us from progressing as believers. This is why you got to pursue peace, and as a man and as a woman of God, got to learn to speak to your situation. Too many times, we just bow down. Oh, this is just my situation, I guess. This is just my lot in life. Now, I'm not talking down on anybody, but what I'm saying is you got to develop this fighting spirit within you that says, I will not settle for my situation. I know I may have done some things that I'm not proud of, and I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. And because Christ was born and because he died, I can have a second, third, and fourth chance. Now, I'm going to ask you to be careful, because some people understand they got a third, fourth, and fifth chance. And you're not even on your fifth. You're like on your 89th chance. We got to stop playing with the Lord. We got to make a decision. I was taught if you stand on the edge of the pool, you either jump in or get out. Ooh, come on, somebody. I promised you when we took over the church, we would preach the uncut word of God. But God cannot bless sin. God cannot bless you the way he intends if you know you're wrong. Now, I know some situations are messed up. I got that. But you serve a God that can give you wisdom to make the right decision and turn your entire situation around. The problem is we don't want to surrender our way. Proverbs 12:25 says this, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes him glad. Now, I know everything I'm saying might not be tasteful right now. It might not be easy to swallow, but the Bible says a good word will make you glad. Because truth has a way of axing down anything that is not right. Luke 12:25 says this, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? There are a lot of people who live in worry and paranoia because they have an emptiness inside. And because they have an emptiness inside, they have needs that are not being met. Therefore, they pursue peace in all sorts of things. This is what's behind vices. People pursue peace in alcohol. They pursue peace in drugs. They pursue peace in sex. They pursue peace in relationships. They pursue peace in shopping. They pursue peace in competition. Always showing everybody that they're higher. Come on, somebody. That's a spirit that if we're not careful, will creep into the church. We got to be careful. You know, when you introduce yourself in the church, don't give me your spiritual resume. Come on, somebody. There's some people, I say, hi, how are you? They say, hi, how you doing? I used to preach, I used to do this, I'm not concerned with that. I just need to know that you can stand for a week or two. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Too early? Should I reel it back? Oh, we had our coffee. Come on, somebody. You know, I found that most believers who battle anxiety, it's either out of three things. They're either in sin, out of the will of God, or their spiritual priorities have been neglected. Believers who live in anxiety, it's one of those three things. Sin lives in their heart, they're out of God's will, or their spiritual priorities, meaning prayer and the reading of the word, is out of priority or has been neglected. And this morning, I want you to know God never intended for us to live in anxiety, because when Jesus was born, he allowed us to live in peace, Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. See, God gives perfect peace to those who trust him. Isaiah 26:3 tells us this. It says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts you. A benefit of our salvation is that we can walk in peace even when we don't feel it. Because the Bible says in John chapter 14:27, listen to this. This is the ultimate gift God gave us. It says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. See, this is why we celebrate Christmas. It's not about the gifts. The ultimate gift was Christ. The ultimate gift he left was peace, was hope, and joy that was all gift wrapped in one package, Christ himself. That same present was sacrificed so you and I can live in a different standard. When you look at that scripture in Isaiah 26, he says, perfect peace he gives to the one who's steadfast and the one who trusts him. Understand this. Perfect peace is given when our minds are steadfast on him. Now, what does that mean? A steadfast person is one who's reliable, faithful, and true till the end. And when our minds are steadfast, or when we fixed it in our spirit that we aren't going nowhere, this is the life we live, we are now steadfast and our minds are made up. Too many believers never settle it in their heart and they come to church waiting for the perfect situation. Therefore, they never enter in to God's perfect will. I have to tell you that sometimes to enter into God's will, it's going to take faith and sacrifice. There are certain things you will have to sacrifice to experience his peace, to experience his glory. What did he say? Peace I leave you, peace I give you. I do not give like the world gives. I give you peace that the world cannot give. In other words, that is a precious gift from God, and gifts like that are not cheap. It also says perfect peace is given to those who trust him. See, God just desires that we put our trust in him. The word trust means this, to have reliance or confidence in. Trust is all about relying on the promise of what another person said they would do. And God gave us an entire manual. God gave us a number of promises. See, your job is to find out what those promises are. Because the Bible says that the secret things he will reveal to you and your family. And it's our job to seek after them. See, when we do this and we seek after God, we develop this peace that the Bible talks about. Now, I will tell you this. Finding peace and keeping peace is an uphill battle. You got to know that the enemy will always try to come in and steal your peace. Too often when people think of peace, they think of absence of conflict. That is not what God's peace is all about. God's peace is given to us that we can endure and stand through tough times. The truth is, keeping peace is not easy. Living a lifestyle of peace is something you will have to fight for. We as God's people need to pursue that lifestyle. So how do we maintain peace? I want to give you five things. Five things that will help you develop the peace of God in your life. Are you with me? Give me a few more minutes. Number one, how you maintain peace. Learn to put your trust in God. Thank you. Learn to put your trust in God. Perfect peace comes from trusting the Lord. As we read earlier, John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. What does that mean? In other words, when we trust in God, he will give us peace to walk through any trial. Number two, how do you maintain or develop godly peace? You have to learn to pursue peace. There are so many people that you live in conflict. Come on, somebody, just kind of wave at me. Number one, or 1 Peter 3:11 says this, he must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. That's a heavy scripture if you really read into it. It says he must seek peace and pursue it. In other words, the word pursue means to follow in order to overtake. It's to seek or to strive to attain something. You got to find peace. You got to make amends. You got to make peace with your family members. You got to learn to resolve conflict. We live in a world where people just want to run. You know what we're professionals at? Cutting people off. We're living in the day and age where people got issues. They'll be like, I don't need you. I'll cut you off. You know, go. You do you and I'll do me. And if we cross paths, you know, something might go down. Come on, somebody. But that's the day and age that we're living in. And that leads me to number three. In order to maintain peace, number three, you have to learn to resolve conflict. Nothing will kill your peace more than when you have unresolved conflict with people that you love. We as God's people need to pursue this peace. We need to be professional peacemakers. See, most people, they see peacemaking as a passive role. However, an effective peacemaker actively pursues peace and lives with a free conscience. In other words, we got to pursue this lifestyle. And when we see there might be an issue, listen, husbands, when you see there might be an issue, you got to be proactive. Come on, ladies, that's a freebie. Right? Sometimes we're like, what's wrong with her? And they make it their point to let us know something. Come on, somebody. Men, wave at me. Hello. I'm like, what's wrong with you? How come the kids get a plate? I don't get a plate. Come on, somebody. Huh? You want to hurt a man? Don't feed him. Come on. But we as husbands need to see these conflicts and resolve them before they arise. You know what that's going to mean? That means sometimes we might have to sacrifice what we want to do, because sometimes we as men can be selfish. We want to do what we want when we want to do it. We work hard. Right? Come on, man. I come home sometimes, I'm like, I work hard. I don't want to sit here. I just want to watch the football game. I don't want to watch the kids. You go over there, and I just want to sit here with my cup of coffee. I don't want nobody to bother me. Just leave me right here. Come on, somebody. But if my marriage, come on somebody, cha-ching, come on somebody, I'm going to tell her how beautiful she is even when she, come on somebody. She's always beautiful, come on somebody. I mean, baby, I love you. There's no coming back from that one. Men, don't do that. Tell her she's beautiful when she wakes up. Come on, somebody. Tell her how much you appreciate her. Tell her how you notice the little things. Baby, I notice how you rub my back when I'm feeling stressed out. I notice how you stand by me even when everything is falling apart. When you're able to see, am I cleaning it up? I love you, baby. Come on. Moving along. Learn to resolve conflict. Wives, you too, you got to learn to resolve conflict. Don't give the silent treatment. Silent treatment, listen to me. The basis and the foundation of silence is because there's an issue that hasn't been resolved. Men, you got to take notes. If she's silent and hasn't talked to you, there's an issue that hasn't been resolved. But you got to understand this. Silent treatment will give byproducts to frustration, to annoyance, to fighting over little things that really don't matter. We live in a world where we would rather remove ourselves from conflict rather than deal with it. But we got to be people that learn to resolve conflict. Understand that unresolved conflict will breed a breach in your relationship. And it will cause resentment and pain. Making peace is not easy. It's actually hard work when it comes to relationships. But it's worth it. It's so worth it. And listen to me, it's my heart's desire. We've been with each other for about a year. I'm going to tell you right now, as we grow as a family, there are going to be times I might hurt you. That's just the truth. There's going to be times where your brother and your sister might hurt you. But don't leave the church because you got into conflict and you didn't know how to resolve it. I want you to learn to be mature. Don't be like children. We got to learn to resolve conflict and live in the same house. My kids fight all the time, but it's mine. No, he looked at me weird. No, he was looking at my chocolate milk. Come on, somebody. But they got to learn to live together. We got to learn to resolve conflict. And if all hell is breaking loose and someone comes against your brother, you stand by him. Right? In the spirit, we stand by each other. You might annoy me, I might annoy you, but if it comes down and we got to go toe to toe, come on, baby. You're like, hold on, we're not supposed to. Turn the first cheek, turn the second cheek. The Bible doesn't say anything about the third cheek. Hello. I'm just kidding. Spiritually, pray for each other. Make peace. Make peace with one another. Nothing will rob your peace. Listen to me, guys. Than unresolved conflict. There is a reason you stay heavy-hearted. There is a reason you can't penetrate and break through in prayer. Because there are things you're afraid to talk about. Listen to me. We got to get through this. Number four, if you're going to maintain your peace, nothing will calm your spirit more than prayer. You got to learn to pray. Sometimes I don't even have the words to pray. Everything around me feels anxious. I walk in, kids want my attention, church needs my attention, my job needs my attention, and I have mental things going on, and there's times where I just got to turn off the devices. I got to walk away from the TV, and I just need to put on some worship music and just sit there. I don't even have the words. God, I don't even know what to say, but I'm going to sit here. There are times my wife will tell you, I'll just sit there, and I will just sit there. And it's crazy how when I put worship music, my heart will cry out to God. I don't even have words, but then my voice will begin to lift up. That's why I'm a worshiper. I learn to be a worshiper when I go through tough times. I learn to say, I exalt you, God. I love you, God. I don't know what I'm going through, but I know you're able. Jesus, you brought me through once before. You can bring me through again. I know I feel anxious, but you can settle my spirit. I can't teach you about prayer. I could give you every scripture in the Bible, but you know what's funny about prayer? The only way you learn about prayer is by praying. And if you don't know how to pray, it's okay. You can talk to God. You can say, God, I don't like him. God, I don't like her. Come on, somebody. You could be real with God. But know this, that when you pray like that, God might reveal things about you that are not right. And you're like, wait a minute. Can I take that back? Because I don't like them because they're like me. Philippians 4, 6, 7 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart. See, when you begin to bring your anxieties in petition and in prayer to God, the Bible says there's a peace that transcends all understanding. Not only will it protect your mind, it will protect your heart. When you're hurt, when you've been wounded, you say, God, I put my trust in you, and your heart will be guarded. Resentment can't creep in. Bitterness can't creep in. Sin can't creep in. But your heart can maintain pure. That's why the Bible says, above all else, keep your heart pure. Because out of your heart, it springs forth life. And sometimes, instead of bringing our junk to God, we harbor it in our heart, and before we know it, we're talking ugly, we're negative. All we do is talk about people. All we do is see the negative. All we do is see that we need more things in the church. All we do is we see people that we don't. Come on, somebody. But because out of whatever's in the heart, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't got to be anxious. Nothing will calm your spirit more than God. Number five. In order to maintain peace, fill your heart with the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word. Ephesians 6:15 says this, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. See, when you read the word of God, the gospel of peace goes with you. This is why it's important before you leave the house, read the word of God. Learn to read Proverbs. Start there. You know, I had a mental block. You know, sometimes as preachers you get a mental block. And I just said, you know what? I don't even know what to preach on. I don't even know what to read. You know what? I'm just going to read the Gospels. I'm just going to read about Jesus. I'm going to read about the miracles. And something happens when you start reading about the miracles of God. Faith rises up inside of you. All of a sudden, anything that may have been uneasy is chopped down by the word of truth. Some of you got to get truth in your spirit because you've been living a lie. Or sometimes we believe the lie. Pastor don't like me. Hello. I used to go through trips like that. Real deal. Before I was a pastor, I used to think, man, my pastor doesn't like me. I had complexes. I had things inside me that weren't right with God. Therefore, I put it on the man of God because I couldn't find help. When the Bible says you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, it's our job to study to the best of our ability to give you the message, but you got to go after him for yourself. Yes. Nothing will bring down anxiety. Listen to me. But the truth of God will cut through. That's why the Bible says the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword, able to cut through any thought, cut through any marrow. The New Living Translation says that it cuts through and helps us see who we really are. Why? Because it's the truth of God's word. You can come up, Brother Alec. Truth has a way of combating the anxieties in your life. When you read the word of God, any fear that lives in your life will be brought down by the truth of God's word. That's why he said he didn't give us a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind. See, the peace that I'm talking about this morning was made accessible to us through the birth of Christ. Did you know that when Jesus was born, that was prophecy fulfilled? This peace that we're talking about was part of the prophecy that was fulfilled and mentioned in Isaiah 9, chapter 6. I close with this. Isaiah 9, 6 says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Catch this verse number 7. "Of the increase of his government," in other words, his dominion, "the increase of his dominion and peace, there will be no end." In other words, you can walk in this peace and it will never leave you. When Jesus was born, there was a specific peace that entered into the earth's atmosphere that did not exist prior to his birth. That's why we celebrate Christmas. See, this Christmas, you got to make it your priority to have peace in your house. Make amends with those that you love, because gifts and seasons will come and go, but family will stick together. Understand, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Through him, we have access to salvation, and in that, we have hope. Knowing we can walk in peace, because no matter what surrounds us or what comes against us, God has the future in mind. Because Christ was born, you and I have access to a peace that knows no end. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning.